and welcome to whatever this may end up being. The first episode of our opinion.
Otherwise known as the Who the Fuck Are These Guys episode.
Yes. Yeah. absolutely. My name is Josh Wasta. I'm here with my partner,
Jonathan Neal.
And yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Well, it's what everybody wants in the end is two more white guys in their youth expressing things.
Well, I mean, this is my fourth podcast, but I found out that you were in your 40s, didn't have one. You weren't into World War II.
Nope, not World War II. Had thought about craft beers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Warhammer?
I played Warhammer,
yeah. Right, but have you spent thousands of dollars?
No, because the internet's a thing now, so you just get everything digitally.
So, by law, you
have to I had to start a podcast.
You had to start a podcast. Yep. So, welcome to the world of podcasting, John. But this is going to be just kind of an experiment in, you know, throwing some stuff on a bi-weekly basis.
Screaming into the void.
Yeah. Yeah. As men of our age are wont to do.
Age and demographic.
The hope is that eventually we will have some people on that their opinions do matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just going to kind of go through and talk about some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks or what we've been up to, and hopefully we'll amuse ourselves and indirectly others.
I think we often amuse ourselves.
Right.
That's what led to this was alcohol and amusing ourselves and saying, wouldn't this be great to have actual physical evidence that these conversations happen?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, let's start there. So this idea came about on a night that we do not have that often anymore. It was us and our friend Bear, who is my co-host on Graphically Novel. Well, you and I started, we hadn't seen each other in a while, so we decided to just go throw some axes.
Yeah, I was like, let's throw axes and have...
Yeah, so we met downtown Cedar Rapids, went to an axe throwing place that was pretty awesome, did that for about 45 minutes, then went to a steakhouse and had dinner. And drank a lot. And then while we were at dinner, went, oh yeah, you know what? Karaoke, which is something we did in our youth. Mm-hmm. So that's when we got a hold of Bear, met him for karaoke, and yes, we were many, many more drinks were had where we discussed this podcast, because again, by law, you must have a podcast.
Yeah. Well, what started it was the conversation about the actress passing away from the pirate. And we talked about what our obligation to acknowledge the times that actress got us through.
That's right. And then, yeah, there was a lot of talk like that. Oh, my God. And there were actually two of those, by the way.
Well, sequels never hold up.
Yeah, the famous adult film Pirates that then had a sequel called Stagnetti's Revenge. Do you remember that?
Funny enough,
I don't even have Safe Search on, and it's just giving me Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think the keyword would be adult movie.
Or Stagnetti. Jesse J. That's the name of the actress. It's stupid conversations like that we have on kind of a bi-weekly basis that are like, fuck it, let's
record. Well, that and we're both very, I think, opinionated people. We like to discuss things. And so it just felt like picking a topic and discussing it between the two of us and then having other people on and getting their opinions was something that would be at least entertaining.
Right, right. And I mean, if our I say our audience, if the four people that listen,
kind of like they're there.
That's right. If you want to like engage with us, by all means, we have a Facebook page. We have our opinion doesn't matter at gmail.com.
Do we have an X or are we non-X?
We are non-X. Yeah, we do not have a twat.
So, quick side point, first of many, twat or twat?
Whatever she prefers.
Yeah. So there's a comedian, Daniel Sloss.
Good.
I absolutely, funny guy. And one of his little skits is, I believe it's twat, not twat.
Interesting.
And he's like, you're fucking up the... So it's been my interesting conversation, twat or twat.
I would argue that that's not our word.
Not our word. Do we have to go to the source? Excuse me.
Ma'am?
What is your preference?
Yeah.
Now, this is coming from a guy whose favorite word, I imagine we're swear friendly now since I've said the F word about three.
Yeah.
My favorite word is cunt. It is a word that, like, with the right accent, hilarious, jovial even, just ha-ha. And in America.
Yeah, yeah. I can't get over the hump of, like, again, a lot like twat. Now my word.
Yeah.
Like, you know, guys, I feel, or people who identify as male can use dick, and, you know, women can use it too. That, but the, like, for some reason, when you use a word that originates talking about the female genitalia, it's off bounds. It's out of bounds, man. I generally don't use twat. I may use cunt, but I gotta really mean it.
See, I use it so flippantly.
And I very rarely use it to describe a woman.
No, no. Well, I work with public people. So, I mean, it does get brought up every once. But, I mean, this is like knowing the situation that I deal with every day. I'm sure you're like, he's probably going to.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a bracelet in my car made by my adult child. Let me specify that. He said, do you want me to make you a bracelet? I've been making bracelets. I said, yes, make me a bracelet that just says, hi, cunt. And even when, like, taking my mother to treat and the valet grabs my car, he got to know me and he was like, I love it. And I was like, thank you. But no, that's, I mean,
I wonder how many people have, like, my thought on it versus your thought on it. Because, like, yeah, like,
we all know there are certain words that if you were not a part of that pie chart, you.
Right. And I mean, and we should say we've already talked about how we're middle-aged white guys.
But yes.
I am half Puerto Rican. I very rarely amongst people that I do not know, I very rarely will, like, pull it out. Like, you know,
for a while, I think you had a term for that.
The Sorta Rican.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I see. No. Once again, not my place. So I was like,
right. No, Sorta Rican is kind of a thing that was adopted. I actually have a friend who his grandmother is the only person in his family that is Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. So he's a Puerto Rican.
I love that. See, I am Irish, German, Scottish, and then, like, there's a little bit Norwegian in there, too. So, basically, I was like, this
100%. Oh, so an white and an off-white.
Yes, I am forced pagan. Yeah. And I was like, this tracks.
Yeah. But where I was going with that is, like, I still very rarely will use, like, spick.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just not... I don't feel that I have had enough of that to use that regularly.
Well, I think even, I don't know, even amongst the group, there has to be like
an understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, people that are gay sexuality, they can use all those words that
we
only used during the 90s before we evidently knew they were bad.
Yeah. Or when singing along to Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Yeah. One song specifically.
Yes.
The one song that immediately started playing.
Right. But yeah, that's an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And then it brought up, I said, okay, so what about non-binary people?
Mm-hmm.
If you're non-binary, you don't have a specified, is your sexuality then based off that? Because isn't sexuality?
Well, it's for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm
sex and genders.
So now's a good time to touch on these. So I am a socialist communist at heart. I believe everyone's entitled to live their life and have things like, you know, education, money, and health.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm a democratic socialist that wants to see the fall of capitalism.
Real one, not the fake one everyone's been doing.
The real one's difficult. I'm more of a socialist, like, when I follow that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that everybody should be given a basic starting package, like the role-playing starting
yes. What class did you choose? Yes. Painter. Here you go.
Starting character like of life. Right. So you have, you know, you make 50 silver a month because everybody makes 50 silver a month. Huh?
Electrum.
Nice.
It's the bastard child of monetary values and deity.
Oh, you suck so bad. That's the other thing we'll get to eventually is I hate thee. But I love role-playing games.
Yep.
But yeah, so, you know, you have your base, you have a place to live. If you want to own that place, obviously there's a point where you can contribute more to get, you know, I'm not saying get rid of buying and selling things in general, but I am saying there is a base. Your life should start here. Everybody's life should start here. College should be free. Healthcare should be, well, provided by society. Healthcare should be provided by society. Education provided by society. Nobody should ever have to go into debt to better themselves or go
to save a family.
College should also not be a requirement. There's enough other jobs that people genuinely enjoy.
I have a beef with it because let's say you want to be a doctor. You go to college and for like the first, what, like 2 years, you're taking literature and history and all. And I'm like, no. Can you fix my kidney?
Right.
I don't care if you got to read The Grapes of Wrath and you really understood it.
So as somebody that has a liberal arts degree to start with in those first 2 years, I will say, if you don't have that, that's when you have entitled shitbags in your society. So the reason that you do that is to make people well-rounded.
You try.
Well, yes, you try. And you make them do it. Because I know doctors and lawyers, they would be even more insufferable if they were not forced to read a fucking The Grapes of Wrath.
But even if they read it, are they really going to understand it? Or are they just reading it enough to pass class? Like back in the day, it was, yeah. I want to be a doctor. Cool. Go in there with all the dead bodies and learn stuff about how to keep people alive.
Right.
Oh, it's like me. My greatest dream is to get a degree to be a therapist. I would enjoy every day of my life if I did that. The biggest thing that sways me away is spending 6 years, two of which I'll be taking a bunch of classes that have nothing to do with it. All the stuff I want to learn, you would learn in like a master's
program. Right. Oh, okay. You're also coming at it from a position of being in your 40s. You have an extra 20 plus years of learned experiences that people that are going right into college do not have.
Yeah.
So that's also why you have that.
This has been brought up to me as well, is that honestly, because of my later age.
Yes. Born in the late 1990s.
Yes. It would actually be beneficial due to having actual life experience to put towards this.
Right. So, I mean, if you don't have your own life experience, store-bought is fine.
Yeah. For a lot of No, because I had that happen once. So I'm a firm believer that everybody should go to therapy. I think it's good to tune up the engine, just like you would a car that you drive every day.
Sure.
You lug your brain around every day. Maybe every once in a while, take a look under. See why that check engine light's been on for so long. And why you act.
Look, it's my mother.
Yes. 9 times out of 10 is always the child. But I had a therapist once who was a lot younger. She was probably like 23. Great dialogue. We got along perfectly. And then there was just one thing that came up where I had spoke about, like, because I wasn't 40 yet. I was like 38, 39. And I was talking about like wanting to do certain things. I was like, but, you know, and I'm doing this. And she's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, things will be fine. I was like, yeah, but you're like 23. Evidently hit whatever nerve she has, because I immediately saw her go defensive. Don't ever like, and I was like, oh, yeah, duh, because you're, you know, female and young in a profession that's probably predominantly older men.
Mm-hmm.
So you've probably fought this battle daily since you decided to go.
I mean, yes. And in some cases, I agree with that. And in others, there are people that are in their 20s and idiots. And in fact, most people that are
80 years old and still idiots. And some of them run our country.
Yes. I agree. By and large, the cross-section of people that I know, the dumbest things that they've done in their life were in their 20s.
Oh, absolutely. It's because we're invincible and tomorrow never comes.
Right. Right. And you know, and even like, okay, so, man, we'll see how much trouble this first episode gets in me.
Well, I was just going to say, that's why people get canceled, because of tweets from, you know,
we 2005. We have a mutual friend, and this mutual friend is our age, and he started dating a woman that is in her 20s. And I was like, oh, she's cool enough. You know, met her a couple times. Facebook invite. Cool. Awesome. Lots of like, you know, hey, know your rights in workplaces, things like that. Totally cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Pro-union.
Pro-union, pro all of that. I'm all the way down. And then things started coming in where it was like, you know, I don't support Republicans or Democrats because they're exactly the same. I'm like, well, not exactly. But I understand that viewpoint. I sympathized with it. I used to subscribe to it. And then it turned more into like, we have a lot of third party candidates that should have, like, you should be looking at. And I'm like, if we weren't in the situation that we are in now, if this was Gore versus Bush W, sure. Let's look at the third party candidates and throw our vote away in that direction. Cause that's what it is right now.
No,
we have not done the groundwork in our local government to start building that third party base, because that's where it needs to start. It will never start with a president.
You know, and to put on the tinfoil hat, as some would say, it's two parties both with the same indebted masters.
Yes.
Same corporations backing the same people to pass the same bills in their interest.
Right.
And we're given the illusion of a choice of a two-party system. Now, with that being said, looking at those two parties, there is one that passes a lot of laws that seem to do more harm than good for the vast majority of people as compared to the other. So at that point, you're like, well, this guy's kicking people with a golf shoe. This guy's only kicking them with like a pair of Hey Dudes on. So, like, I'm probably going to go with that one.
Right.
They're both kicking us.
They're both for. Yeah. I don't think there's a question that Biden has been silent and complicit in that genocide.
Yes. So it's the same reason that they're trying to ban.
Right. All of these other things. However, calling them the same. Then I was like, hey, here's where I'm coming. My stepdaughter's trans. I if there is a group that is trying actively to make her miserable, kill herself because they just don't understand her. And there's another group that at least leaves her the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Like, no, they haven't put forth any like major legislation that protects her in any way. But at the same time, they're not like actively trying to get her to die.
Yeah. I mean, we could go down the slippery slope that was Roe versus Wade and other things that come out of that. And also, as the parent of a trans child as well, like, that's the thing is, I was like, no, this group is actively passing things that harm people close to me.
Right.
Also, I feel great because, like, right now, I feel like we're just whittling down that audience.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, hey, if we're still here, you probably are people.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I explain all of this, and the response that I get is, you're not queer. I am. We don't need.
Yeah, so my firm belief is no matter the group, there is always that percentage, right? Doesn't matter the group, there's always that percentage. So like you're saying, like there's things about like trying to be an ally, and then you have people within that group that go, step back, we don't need, we're doing our own. We don't.
Right.
And so you're like, all right, fair, like I'm still going to cheer on the sidelines. I understand if you want to flip me off because you just for some reason just feel like my help is unnecessary. And, you know, being cis white males, you're not hard to come across.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing at that point was, we have bumped heads enough times. I don't know you well enough. I'm not that invested that I'm not interested in continuing this us discussing these things because you've made it clear that my opinions do not matter to you.
Oh, sometimes.
My views are not welcome. Cool. You know what? You keep banging my friend, you make him happy, and live your own fucking life. That's great.
And to circle back, first of all, dating a 20-year-old sounds like.
Yes.
When I was 30,
my wife is 11 years older than me, and that's exhausting.
I went on a date with a 22-year-old when I was like 36, and she had asked me out, and I was like, sure, why not? I never leave my house. I just work and pay bills. So went out, hung out, and by the end of that, I was just like, yeah, no, I want to go home and put on comfy because this has been absolutely draining. And then I work with a lot of 20-year-olds. So I'm constantly, oh, check out this thing. And I'm just like, yeah, kid humor.
Well, yeah.
So I couldn't fathom it. We actually had this conversation at work about age differences because you get a lot of people coming through the door. We had a group come in the door, guy, girl, guy. Went to do something. So, saw he was like 1996, I think was date of birth. And then she was just kind of chatty in a sense and talked about how she had just graduated not too long ago. Bit of an age difference.
Hold on. I have to see Matt.
He was born, like 27. He would
have been born the year before I graduated high school.
Yeah. So he's like 27 or so. And she's
18.
Clearly 18. And so we were talking about the ick factor of that to use that phrase. And so my position was, it's super ick. I go, honestly, your safest bet is after the age of 25, nobody gives a shit who you. I go, and if you need proof of that, if someone's 32 and they're dating a 19-year-old, ew. If someone is 34 and they're dating a 25-year-old, and maybe it's just my brain, but I'm like, there's one part of that brain that's just like, doesn't care about the other one. It's like, hey, you're 25. You're fully developed. Go make your choices. Yeah.
Air quotes.
Yeah. Air quotes hard. As someone who didn't develop until he was like 30-something.
So you're saying that the non-ick line is on the opposite side of everything Leonardo DiCaprio does?
Correct.
Okay.
the age range of him is, oof, to say the least.
Well, it turned 25 tomorrow. Probably should pack.
Yeah, there's just a timer. It's like, what's the movie with Justin Timberlake where they have the numbers on their arms, out of time or something like that?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, yeah. People can live forever, but yeah, everything, time is money.
Oh, right. Where you like pay
a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I feel like every woman he dates has that literally in their arm. And so, like, once it reaches zero, the trap door just opens and they shoot out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Yeah. No.
Next topic.
Well, it's funny because I think we said our first thing was, I was like, let's do the movie thing. I was like, movies are always good. We had that conversation about the difference in trailers. As far as
When
we was growing up, there was one, maybe two trailers to them.
Yeah.
And now you have five before you even got into the theater.
Well, and I also remember trailers when we were young would lie to you.
There are scenes in trailers that did not exist in the movie.
The one that I always fucking remember for some reason. You remember the movie Space Invaders?
Space Invaders.
It was like four aliens that came to Earth to try and conquer it, but they were all just fucking stupid.
It's ringing a bell, and if I watched the trailer, I would probably know.
So the trailer actually has a scene of them running, and one of them's like, prepare to die, Erskine, prepare to die, Erskine. I'll write that on your tombstone.
Wait, now that's ringing a bell.
That scene never in the movie.
Yes. Because they make editorial choices from when they release the trailer to when we see it. My beef now is that, so case in point is like Deadpool 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm super jazzed for that.
But you also can't open CNN without getting a spoiler.
Yeah. Like, I've enjoyed reading Deadpool since I was like 22. And when the movies were coming out and everything, I've been super excited for it. And now with this third one, like, with all these little teasers online, I've been trying to like watch the teaser and I'll watch one trailer and then I will avoid anything about it. Because I know, just like every other movie, every trailer is going to have like 10 seconds of new footage, which means by the time I get to the theater, I've literally seen everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, what was it? Spider-Man, No Way Home. That's why it did so good. I hadn't seen a bunch of those. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I'd not seen a bunch of trailers for that. So I literally went into that movie, spoiler, not knowing that Scarlet Witch was the bad guy in me.
Nice.
And so when that happened in the movie and all of a sudden things shifted, like me and my kiddo both looked at each other. We're like, she the baddie?
Are we the baddies?
I mean, we have skulls on our hats.
See, my thing with trailers is I almost feel like, not to the point like, oh, I'm going to see that. I'm not going to see that. There are certain trailers that come up and I'm like, that movie's going to bomb.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what? How do other people not see that movie is going to bomb?
Because the Hollywood machine says, is this similar enough to something else we've made that did well? And honestly, this was the gun that I already had loaded ready when I came in, was a lot of talk right now is about Madam Web and the Marvels and the similarities of both those movie faring because they're both strong female led movies.
I don't believe that that is true. I believe that one was a good movie that got hate bombed because Captain Marvel got hate bombed and not that many people watched the Ms. Marvel series. They did not know how amazing Iman was going to be in the fucking Marvels.
Which she's great.
Right. But I think that ultimately that movie failed because it spent the front half of it trying to be like, hey, remember Captain Marvel? This is going to be Captain Marvel.
And see, I went back and I rewatched it because I'll do that. I'll revisit a movie to see if now that everybody has shut up and I can watch this movie, do my feelings stay the same or do they change them?
Yeah.
It's kind of like going back to watching the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. It's not as bad as everybody said it was.
No, and the director's cut's actually fucking amazing.
Yes.
If you don't know if you've seen the director's cut Daredevil, by the way, do you remember Coolio being it? Because Coolio's in the director's cut and the whole subplot of Coolio is amazing. And it shows Matt Murdock, which is what rewatching the Daredevil series, when the Daredevil series did.
Charlie Cox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it balances Matt Murdock. Anyway, sorry. Really quick going back. That was the Marvels to me.
And
the reason that Madam Web failed is Madam Web was straight up a bad fucking idea, a bad movie. You should be embarrassed. And from your trailer, I could tell that movie was going to bomb. Same with Morbius.
So I went back and I watched the Marvels again. And in my opinion, which does not matter,
right.
it's mid. The whole movie's mid.
Fun.
Like, it's very meh.
I don't think it's. Yeah, it's not Endgame.
Like,
it's not Civil War. It's not any of the like MCU's greatest hits. I put it like the same as like Love and Thunder, Ragnarok.
Love and Thunder. And I love Taika. Like, yeah. I love so many things that man has done. He had too much free will.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts because we wasted a whole Christian Bale villain that could have been phenomenal. Regardless how you feel about the guy, he can act his ass off. And he really puts himself into that role. So I really look forward to that. But Marvel's was kind of mid, and it falls in that same category. Like, so She-Hulk came out. Everybody hated She-Hulk, except me. I loved She-Hulk. So did you. And we talked about how much we liked She-Hulk.
The only MCU like TV project that I've been like, that was a complete waste of time, has been Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion was bullshit.
It was, yeah.
And they wasted what could have been a great movie with that premise. Anyway, that's a whole other side topic about changes they could have made.
Yep.
So the Marvels, I felt, was kind of mid, and that they did this whole thing of, okay, so Ms. Marvel, the show, was really, really good. It was clearly geared towards a younger audience, which it absolutely should have been. They had their whole thing set up for that. I feel that, what's her name, Photon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Photon is a very okay-ish side character, like cool-ish. Ms. Marvel, I feel, or Captain Marvel, had like this really cool first movie that blended in a lot of 90s nostalgia, and it was during this real big hype of leaning into, I mean, you debuted during the biggest moments in the MCU, which was, you know, Infinity War. So you were set up for, like, people were going to go see that movie.
Yeah.
And I've gone back and watched it, and it's still a good movie. Like, it's not a bad
and,
movie.
And Stan Lee's last tenure.
Yep. With a Mallrat script.
Yep.
But when going and watching the Marvels, I was like, none of this has enough meat to it to carry this whole movie. Plus, your storyline in that makes, like, I have no interest in how this affects the rest of the MCU.
Yeah.
And Madam Web was a whole Sony shit show of, we have these ideas for characters that we have licenses for. Let's throw a movie together about it, and people just go see it because it's kind of somewhat sort of related to Spider-Man.
Right. In which they're also, they'd also failed twice with Morbius trying to do that. The only one that really worked was Venom, but Venom intrinsically can be your Spider-Man in that universe. They just decided not to go in that direction, which I've got, again, that's my whole thing. Venom's- I can fix the Sony-verse, but I haven't seen Madam Web. I'm going to wait till it's streaming.
No, Venom succeeded because of the gay community, 100%. And here's the thing. I love that. I love that that's what happened to that movie. A Venom movie came out with Tom Hardy, and it's not bad. It was entertaining. It's a chips and salsa movie. You kind of eat it, and you're like, oh, wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But the relationship between Eddie and the Venom symbiote being adopted by, like, the LGBTQIA community and just, like happens, pick up the ball and run with it. My kid especially, who was just like, no, this is now a part of my personality, and I love this. I'm always here for. I'm like, run as far as you can with it. I love this. And the fact they even leaned into it with the second movie, where Venom goes up and has the whole speech about being out of the Eddie closet. Oh my God. The joy that sparked in me from that. But with Madam Web, yeah, it's just Hollywood, I think, has now this awful thing of check boxes. We have to go down the list and hit these check boxes, and this will make a successful movie. At no point do we lean on things like, oh, I don't know, story,
creativity,
dialogue, the right actor for the right job. Like, if we do this, it'll succeed despite anything. And numerous movies have proved. Lisa Frankenstein, which is not a comic, but kind of.
I love that movie.
Well, it's definitely based off of a...
It's based off of a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Or no, a young adult novel.
Yeah. Watch that. Absolutely. Be played in. Fantastic. We'll watch anything else that Zelda Williams...
Yeah. See, and that's why I wanted to see how Zelda Williams directed it. And that is one of the movies that, like, while you're watching it, you're thinking, God, this was shot. Like, the choices for shots on this were really...
Not only that, but the scenes, costume, dialogue, the humor in it. Like, it hit me with that, like, Heather.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my God, I love this. Yeah. I love that it's this dark 80s movie with humor and romance and absurdity all through it.
Yeah, so I watched Lisa, Frankenstein, and Poor Things in the same week.
So I haven't watched Poor
Things. Poor Things, really good. But a much different take of the Frankenstein
movie. I liked Morbius. And people will look me the same way as when I said I liked Daredevil.
No. I enjoyed Morbius. I would have enjoyed it a lot more if it had been any other fucking vampire movie. I don't even... Like, make it a new thing. Just don't tie it to Marvel at all. Take the exact same everything and just cut all the Marvel shit out of it. Change those names.
See, I think there's still room for them that they could do something like that if they just stopped being so damn afraid of just making a movie without a guaranteed, I'll just call it an algorithm, a guaranteed formula of success as the studio sees it.
Yeah.
Like, this would work. Like, you understand this, right? Like, you can do your Kraven movie. You can do your Morbius movie. You can do these people that are technically villains in the Spider-Man universe and have it.
For a long time, Silver Sable was going to be one of them for some reason.
So I was looking up some numbers just because I was curious, because that's what I do before I decide to share certain opinions, because I want to be informed. I know it's a radical idea.
Do your own research.
Yeah, right? And so I looked up and I was like, okay, based off the recent census and everything, the United States population, what's the cut of male to female?
It's like 48.
And up until around you're getting past that 45 to 50 mark, male ekes out as the higher demographic, which, you know.
Then we die earlier.
Guys die off earlier. And so
then
you have that. And then I was like, okay. And looking here, it was like, we were holding a hard lead. Males were holding a hard from like 16 to like that almost 45 rate.
Yeah, we're about to hit the time in our lives where people will start dying.
Oh, absolutely. And then I was like, okay. And so then I look up general census data as far as race goes. And I was like, okay. So I think we're still sitting close to like 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at like Latino, okay, African American, okay. And I was like, all right. And so then I look and like, here's the future forecast up to like 2045. And I think it's because somebody said something stupid about the shrink of white percentage in America or something, which is dumb because like by 2045, they're like, you could be a minority. And I was like, well, what's the statistic on a minority? 49%. It's not even a minority. So I was thinking like movie wise, I was like, okay, so your general demographic is going to be male and is either going to be Hispanic or white. Like if you're just going off the largest base numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, does this lead to why so many strong female movies fail in the box office? Or is this more of a media, well, you're a failure because you didn't make, you know, $700 million.
Hmm.
Because there's been other movies that have had strong female leads that have just killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was like, so like I was thinking about like Lisa Frankenstein, which is a super new one that came out. I was like, no, this is a very female-centric movie that is wonderfully done because the storyline. Paper Girls, which was a series.
That was really good. Yeah.
I think Yellow Jackets does really
good. Well, and I would even say, even if you want to stay in the comic book movie sphere, the first Wonder Woman, I'm not going to talk 84, but the first Wonder Woman was extremely well done.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that the studio started to do was fuck with it. Like,
because that's when they start running their machine. And like I said, I think that it comes down to once the studio gets involved, they work off of check boxes, not a story.
Hmm.
And I have this conversation with my kid quite often about the difference between representation and pandering.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if a character is interesting, they're going to be an interesting character despite anything, like nothing's going to be their central basis of their character. The character itself is interesting, whether they're Black, white, Hispanic, male, female, non-binary, gay, straight, asexual. If it's a good character, it's a good character.
Right. See, when I think of pandering, I think of like certain scenes. Mm-hmm. Like there's the endgame scene, the female power endgame scene. I fucking loved it. I thought it was great.
Girls get it done.
Yeah. I thought it was fucking amazing, but I also recognized it as pandering.
Oh, 100%. Like, so once I saw Gwyneth Paltrow in power armor, I was like,
yeah.
Pepper could have sat this one out.
Right. But I mean, that's, you know, the idea is that Captain Marvel started so that the idea was so that Marvels could run so that eventually we could have which would have been just the all female Avengers, which I liked them in the comics. I like it as a concept. I think it's important that we have some of these, you know?
Oh, yeah. But like, so I think one of the things that just got scrapped was the Ironheart series. And I was like, I get that. It's not a super interesting character. It's just not. Like, there are certain characters that work well as side characters and don't need a whole run to.
Right. I would argue that was Falcon, but.
I know. You know what? I would be in agreement too. Here's the thing. I love Anthony Mackie. I think he's hilarious.
If you haven't seen Twisted Metal,
kills it. Kills it, right? But a whole movie with him as Captain America, I don't has the pull to keep an obvious audience interest.
I think we'll see.
And Falcon Winter Soldier worked well, but that's also because him and Sebastian Stan, their chemistry on screen is just amazing. And that bleeds through.
Yeah.
And the writing was good too, and they poked on the Elijah Bradley thing. So that's where I was just kind of looking at movies, and like we had talked about trailers and things like that. And I was, you know, this is kind of a soapbox I do tend to stand on quite a bit. Stop checking boxes, write good stories, and put the right people's. And if your writing's good, your story's good, the character's going to work out.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see that, unfortunately, with large IP.
No.
I think you're going to see it with new concepts, new ideas, but theaters are less willing, or studios are also less willing to invest in those.
Well, yeah. Somebody said it's due to the fact that DVDs don't exist anymore. And so studios have to make their money at the box office. And if it works in the box office, we will greenlight every movie in that wheelhouse, which is why you get the theme years. This is why these are the types of movies that are out right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be interested because I personally give the movie theater industry 10 more.
Yeah. I mean, I think
without being like,
I think the home isolation showed just how willing people wanted to be to just watch certain things at home.
There was want to say it was Forbes that I just read an article that 75% of people for most movies are fine just waiting for.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because it's kind of the tier system I use is downloadable, streamable, and movie theater have to go see it, right? Because there's some stuff where you're just like, I'm not going to buy this on Amazon.
No.
You're like, I'll wait for it to be on stream. Or there's stuff that you're like, I kind of want to see it now, but you know, maybe there was something problematic about it. So I don't want to give that money to this person. So, you know, it somehow winds up on a hard drive. Who knows?
Right. Fell off a truck.
Yeah. Fell off a truck, came with these socks. And then there are certain movies where absolutely I want to go see the new King Kong movie or Godzilla movie. I want to go see that.
I would argue the last movie I saw in the theater was Dune 2. And I think Dune, the first and second one, they are both movies that give you a different experience in theater.
See, I feel like I'm losing credit by not being super.
I'm not super into Dune.
I tried watching the first one and my attention span was terrible trying to watch
that movie. Yeah, see it. Yeah, you have to be in the right mood.
And I think that's going to be one that I revisit on a time where I'm like, okay, I'm focused in.
Find an edible, Eula.
Not that I want to enjoy a movie. I can enjoy a long walk in my backyard while I calm down. No, so that's my main thing is, you know, just go back to writing good stories. If you go back to writing good stories, I feel like the rest of it will sort itself.
I don't think we necessarily have moved away from writing good stories.
I do in studio.
It depends on the studio. I think that we're starting to see a fight against that, or just the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
The wide array of things that A24 is putting out.
I was just going to say A24.
Yeah. Because they started to get a little bit of success and then went, fuck it, let's open the floodgates and, you know, we'll relight this and this and this and this, and we'll just see what happens with shit. And they've largely been successful. They've had some horrible crash and burns.
I think this is A24, but it's also a semi-problematic intellectual property, but has been Hotel. It's animated.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. There was a short clip of it that came out like during the whole We All Stay at Home time frame. And it was really funny. It was very adult oriented. And it was about a hotel in hell to rehabilitate souls.
Okay.
And so they made a series about it. And evidently the, you know, stuff associated with the person that did the artwork and things like that. And I'm like, okay. Pushing that aside, just looking at
right. We will do an episode on separating the art from the artist.
Yeah.
But that is not going to be today. Oh,
that's a whole episode.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's not going to be today.
But it was really good. The music, it's a very musical kind of go. Music's really good. The voice actors do an amazing job. I love the artwork. The storyline's really solid. It's female-led with, you know, the female character having a girlfriend. There's openly gay characters all throughout the series. Very fluid in that aspect and kind of shows heaven being kind of smug assholes, which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah, absolutely. That goes back to our, that was the 90s, man. That was.
Oh, yeah.
The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. You had Dawn, Joseph Michael Lindner's Dawn that was fucking with that. Like,
one of my favorite demons is Billy Zane from Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just saying, like, I agree with you in the sense that we're starting to see some pushback against. I think the audience is smarter than the studio in knowing certain movies are trash when they're put out. Because you're like, you didn't put thought into this. You said, just make it girls.
Well, yeah. And I think that's why Fox went under. That's why, you know, Disney was able to snatch up Fox. And
Fox made some bad choices with shows they cut anyway.
But then you know, Sony is having financial issues, and all of these studios are having issues because they, like you said, they're trying to follow the formula and it's just not working.
Yeah.
Whereas something like an A24 goes through and not all of their movies get to the theater, but they have streaming deals. So as long as they're creating content, you know, then you can get some of those stories. Now, what you're going to sacrifice is I don't think you're going to see the combination for a while of a brand new idea, hasn't been a book, hasn't been a whatever, this brand new IP,
adaptation,
and $100 million budget. I don't think you're going to see those two things together. You're going to see it where maybe it's eventually $100 million movie, but it has been smaller movies or other media to build up.
But I don't think we need everything to be a
no, but I mean, Blumhouse. Yeah.
Blumhouse is another studio that they take chances on movies. I've watched some where I'm like, this is very meh. And then I've watched some where I'm like, this was amazing. I love this.
Yeah.
And then the thing that always worries me is when they do well enough that the studio goes, absolutely, we want you to make a second one. This did really good. And you go to watch the second one and you see the grubby little studio hands in it. And you're like, this was a really, really good meal. And then you came over. You just started moving crap around on the plate and adding things I didn't want. And I can tell you did it because this looks like stuff that you like.
Yeah. And I don't know where this thought on this train came from, but even when it's accidental, you know, like, I don't think anyone started the Fast and the Furious franchise thinking that it was going to be, you know, this huge Goliath of a thing, 11 if you count Hobbs and Shaw.
True.
You know, this huge thing. And it kind of happened organically. And it's, you know, it was a dumb movie to begin with. But it was, like, I watched every movie in the Fast and Furious franchise except for number two.
See, I've seen 1, 2, 3, and maybe I think it was like a 7 or something I saw a little bit of. And then I just watched 10. Because I wanted to see
Jason Momoa
because he looked phenomenal.
And he killed it.
And he did. He absolutely killed it. And I thought it was great. But like you said, nobody expected that. They said, hey, it's a streetcar racing movie. And that was hot at that time. Need for Speed Underground was out. People were playing that.
And by the fifth one, they were in submarines.
What if cars could parkour?
Yes. There's magnets involved. And like, yeah, it's crazy. But like,
the fact that has not been a Transformers Fast and the Furious crossover angers me.
See, Transformers is what I think of when I think of trying to force that Fast and Furious type thing. So in my mind, Transformers is antithetical to the idea of Fast.
In a sense, I mean, Transformers basically just became, how many more movies can we make that fit a Linkin Park?
Oh, it didn't work with that? We'll change it to Ninja Turtles.
Oh, geez. Ninja Turtles is wild in and of itself because this being my second time on a podcast, my first being, hey, John, would you like to just go hard on about TMNT and everything you know about?
While my wife talks about how much she hates the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yes, and the fact that we still have a chat that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle only chat.
Yep.
No, so, I mean, that's a lot of the stuff where I talk about how, you know, Hollywood does it and it just gets all mucked up. And I mean, there's been tons of interviews where they've talked to directors of these adaptations and they're like, oh, so were you a fan of this? Had you ever read this? And the reply is, nope, didn't read any of it, never even looked back at it. I just, you know, we made out a script and I'm just going to direct it. And then they're like, why did it fail? You're like, well, probably because you don't have fans doing any of it.
Right. Yeah. Look how well it works with actors. You know, look how well it actually worked with Sam Raimi before, again, fucking studio.
Yeah.
Gets it. It's like, we want three villains for Spider-Man 3.
Too many cooks in that kitchen.
Yeah.
How do you put Topher Grace as Venom?
I actually think
he's the least intimidating man ever.
Had he been given more room to
develop. You need a big beefy guy for Venom. You got to believe that he's going to beat the crap out of, like, both in and out of costume.
I feel that Topher's role was almost more like Venom and Carnage put into one.
They kind of shoehorned that in together. And here's the thing. I don't hate Topher Grace. I thought he was great in that. Was it Predators?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Predators was really good. It's they all land on a planet. His character in that is really good. And I've seen him in other shows too, where I'm like, Topher Grace is a pretty good actor. But like I said, studio mess it. Screws it all up. And
right. So.
Oh, I didn't know if you had a conjunction. I was like,
no. I thought I had something. And then it's gone.
Lol.
And then it was gone.
Thought I had some.
Yeah, no. So, and this is quote unquote a hot take in a sense. But I would say your main targeted movie are going to hit a male 15 to 45 demographic.
Largely white.
Yeah, mostly.
Because while there are some Hispanics, like in there, they're not nearly.
I don't think the African American community gets enough credit for their movie going input as well. Like, if you look up the box office takes, like, they don't represent as high, but I definitely think that male demographic hits harder. And as much as we have certain female lead movies that do well, you look at the vast run of all these, from Fast and the Furious to the Marvel movies to, I mean, look, I don't know if Lord of the Rings would be a good example, because I think there's a lot of female fans for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's a lot of crowd.
But you look at these huge ones that just
kept crazy. Well, I'd say the same thing for Marvel, but.
Yeah, but most of them, it's adult boys who want to see things go boom on the screen and want there to be fighting and superpowers and cars that jump off sides of buildings.
Which is why you're not going to see the stories that you.
Correct. But those are chips and salsa movies, you know, and you can still have a super successful steak of a movie and not need $100 million budget because people love the story of it.
So a year and a half ago, I started working on a role-playing game supplement mm-hmm. that was based on action movies. So I've watched in the last year and a half as many action movies as I could put in my aisle. And there's a lot, especially in the age of streaming, where it takes me 3 hours to go through Tubi and put all the action movies that look interesting into a watch list. So I've watched a lot. And I will tell you that the worse an action movie is, sometimes the better it is.
It's that tipping.
Yeah.
It goes from Starship Troopers.
Yes.
Starship Troopers goes so bad, so cheesy, that it spins the dial back around to
the camp scale.
Completely enjoyable.
Yeah. It's campy.
Yes. Because you're like, people are like, oh my God, this dialogue is so awful. Oh, everything's, you're like, that's the point.
Yes.
We're leaning hard into it because we know this is what we got.
Right.
And the more something leans into what it is, I think the more successful it is. This kind of, so earlier when I was asking about if you had seen the latest trailer for Bill Skarsgård as the Crow.
Yes. Which I have.
And when they released the first picture of him as the Crow, the internet immediately kind of went after it. Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, anybody that grew up in the 90s
yeah.
loved Brandon Lee as the Crow.
Not anyone, but yeah, a large majority.
The people I hung out with. No.
People, the Hot Topic people.
Yes. People that could truly appreciate the soundtrack. So that it was met badly at first. And then they just released the kind of small trailer for it. And I went and watched the trailer and I was like, okay, you know what? Doesn't look too bad.
They're definitely going a lot harder.
Yeah, they're going a little harder on it. My main thing is talking about the source material and being honest to it and kind of leaning hard into what you are. I just hope this doesn't become a love story.
Yeah.
Because if you read the comic or if you watched the first movie, like, you even see interviews with Brandon Lee where he talks about the fact that the Crow, at its core, is just a story of LeVette.
Yeah.
It is the driving factor of the characters. He's not trying to do anything else but get revenge. That is the only sole purpose of his existence. And I hope that carries over into this because I think that's what worked so well with the first one. And I think if you go too hard into the love angle on this one, people are going to dislike it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I don't want to watch a sappy. I wanted to see this man anger come back and kill everyone involved, a la John Wick.
Yes.
John Wick is nothing but a revenge story for four movies.
And still not enough people have died to make up
for that dollar.
To make
about dog. No.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm keeping an open mind.
Visually looks good.
It does. I like that they are making it a lot more brutal.
Should be.
Yes. Still no Skull Cowboy.
Well, I would
can't get always get what you want.
I would love something like the Crow to be a series.
It was
a good one. That's why I glanced over that. A good one. in the sense that, like, the Crow series was as good as the Blade series was.
By the way, if you're just discovering that the Crow had a series, the Crow was played by the guy who is the commissioner in Iron Chef America.
Yes. I mean, it's certain shows like that, but I think a gritty, realistic type Crow series would do really well, especially now that we pushed off all this stuff about, like, it can't be successful if it's too violent.
Right.
It's like, really? Because, like, Punisher did great.
Yeah.
Like, we can do this and it'll work really well. And there's tons of great series in The Crow to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I'm optimistic. And then at the same time, I'm like, but Hollywood would find a way to screw it up and ruin it. Because I, you know, watched Avatar: The Last Airbender and was like, how do you mess this up? How do you make this boring?
Yeah, basically. But that's my opinion.
First of all, not an anime. American animation, so
I can't get into it. I tried.
Well, I think you have a skewed vision of anime too, though, because weren't you surrounded by it?
Yeah, I worked at Bandai for
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were enough
the collectible cards.
Yeah, you were around it enough to be like, I dislike this thing now. But if people start listing different animes, I guarantee there's gotta be one that you would watch and go, okay, this is kind of silly, weird.
And I have a 1% threshold for anime. Like, there are just certain, like, Cowboy Bebop will always be, I think that Cowboy Bebop transcends style, because Cowboy Bebop is at its core satire.
Yeah. I mean, it would make a great series.
It did make a great series, and then they canceled it. Although they did the right thing by not putting it in. But that's my own.
Yeah. Like, my big one was Samurai Champloo. I thought it was really good for its time.
See, that Martian Successor Nadesco I liked. But again, half of that anime is making fun of anime.
Chainsaw Man's one that's actually really good, and it's kind of wild. There's a little dog with a chainsaw now. And, like, it's delightful.
Yeah, I was also married to somebody that really liked, like, cutesy.
Oh, the chibi stuff?
Yeah. Like, Chobits?
Yep. Yeah. Fruit Basket?
Yeah. Like, all that stuff.
Not that manly Sailor Moon that we love.
I mean, it never caught me. My brother's huge in it.
Oh, yeah.
I just never got caught.
I would say I'm like a 10 to 20%
fan, yeah.
Right? Like, there's ones I've watched that I really liked, but is there going to be, like, huge amounts I can list? Probably not, because there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Like, but if it's cool, I'll start checking it out.
Yeah. I'm actually losing taste for the things that I used to like. So
it's called getting older.
Yeah. Like, I went back because I was so excited that the X-Men cartoon's coming back.
The animated series, I'm still excited for you.
Yeah. Just understand that there was maybe 25% of those episodes.
I went back and rewatched it. And, you know, as a kid, you have different glasses on when you're watching it, especially the scenes with Rogue. a lot of things stemmed from there.
Yep. As I look over at my case,
yeah,
full of Rogue.
But I think it's good. I think it'll be all right for a throwback to the nostalgia that it was. Obviously, it's going to be different because, one, the animation's not the same. The time is different. You're older now. It's just that small hit of nostalgia and dopamine that you're hoping for, where you're just like, all I want to hear is the da 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 da.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Oh my God, Gambit just charged up Wolverine's claws. Like,
oh my God.
Just give me those moments.
But comic nerd screaming about why that doesn't work.
Yes. Well, no. And I actually.
Oh no. The outer coating. Yeah. He'd be able to blow him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and.
But it's a little stronger.
So.
Yeah. Why is he not just blowing that man up all the time in combat?
Right.
You'll be fine.
They also don't like each other that much, so it's perfect.
It was like, you'll be fine. And when Colossus will throw you, you explode, you grow back, and now we have a crazed berserker tearing people up.
You've also never gone, like, the anime never covered what the movie covered from the very first Hugh Jackman line, where he says it hurts every time.
Yeah.
Like, they never really go over that. So it looks like Wolverine's just, I'm painless and immortal.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's comics in a nutshell, right? It changes on a daily basis, it seems. But as far as, let's see, we had movie trailers, which was the big thing about it. They show too much. Leave some mystery. Leave some mystery to it. Let it be fun.
I find the best ones do that, though. Like, I haven't seen, like, I've seen trailers where I'm like, oh, I think I know the movie. And then, like, so go and see it in the theater. I still watch it streaming. Blue Beetle was one where I watched it and I was like, I've seen everything to see about this. And then I watched it and I was like, okay, well, first of all, this movie was delightful, but it was delightful to me in many different ways because that movie is aggressively Hispanic.
Oh, absolutely.
That movie.
I saw George Lopez was in it.
That movie beats you with chocolates. Like, yes. From across the room.
I mean, it's in the wheelhouse of, it's a DC movie. So I go into it going, this will be a thing. We'll see how I feel at the end.
We were in a bar yesterday. We went and saw Wrestling Revolver in Des Moines. And I looked for we had 2 hours to go. And I was like, what's the closest bar to just, you know, the venue? And it was just down the road. And it was called Flying Moose. So we pop into the Flying Moose. And this is a place where we go in. Sepulveda's playing on the touch tunes. There's just a ton of biker dudes in this place.
Oh,
half biker dudes. And it was the day before St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So half biker dudes and half like women all in the St. Patrick's Day getup.
The people that can't afford to do the day drinking on a Sunday.
Yes. Because they don't want to take off work on Monday.
Yeah.
So like, this is what we walk into. We sit down at our table and behind me is where the TV is. Cause I know if I sit and I'm like facing just a screen, it doesn't matter how many friends I have with me. That is all that my attention will be.
It's our generation's iPad kid.
Yeah. I keep noticing my wife, Jen, her eyes keep flicking like behind me. And then like she does a little shake. And I'm like, what is going on? And I look behind me and they are playing the Snyderverse cut of Justice League.
Oh, God.
And I look back over and I'm just kind of laughing. And Jen's like, my eyes keep going to it. And then my brain goes, you don't want to watch that. We watch that for the show. You hate this movie.
And y'all think,
but then you still have the, oh, what's going on? It's a big screen.
Oh, no. Lyerson. So with this generation, they call them iPad kids. For us, we were TV kids, right? If you put us in any area and there's a TV on, we're going to kind of drift over to it because it's a TV. I have actively watched soccer/football on a TV because it was up. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah. My wife actually talks about that because if I'm doing something in the living room, like I still have like a year or something on, but if it is my choice, like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to play my Marvel Puzzle Quest like game for the next hour, I'll put poker on because poker is something that I can hear it. I know what's going on. I glance up and it, one glance gives me everything I need to know about what's going on at that moment, you know, but it's, I guess, soothing because it fulfills that ADHD part that's like, I need to also be doing something else. My half of my brain is satisfied with glowy boxes and match three. But the other half is like, no, but we need something to occupy us because we're not one cohesive fucking unit.
It's our more spicy white noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do the same thing with certain streamers that I watch that have YouTube channels. One of my favorites is Day Nine. Because he plays games and his videos are like 3 hours plus long sometimes. But when he's playing a game, he's just talking while he's playing it. He's talking about the development of it and why they chose to do this. And while that's happening, I'm playing a game or I'm on my phone or doing something. And that's just the additional noise to shut up one of my many brains up there, evidently, to allow me to just generally focus on that.
So actually, this brings us perfectly because we're at about it time. Yeah. And I was thinking of how to close every episode. And so here's my idea.
You do yours first.
What are you playing?
What am I playing?
What's your current video? We're both gamers. We both wind down with video games. What are you playing right now?
The only thing anyone should be playing, it's Helldivers 2, because I'm spreading democracy and saving planets.
Right. Because I have not played this, but I've heard that it's a lot like Starship Troopers.
And it's Starship Troopers or it's Terminator, depending on which planet you're on.
And Casper Van Dien actually put out something willing to do.
Yes, he did. And that would be the most genius thing in the world to put him in there. Because I'm like, that's what they did with it. They lean into what they were. And they're like, this is satire of this awful government, which is why we're like, spread democracy.
Is there single player?
I mean, it's
campaign.
It's PvE. Okay. So you can single player. Okay. You're just.
But they're on, like, a lot.
No.
Oh, okay.
You're just running missions, unlocking stratagems, fighting things, and trying to work your difficulty up, which you then discover more terrifying things that can kill you. They have missions that, like, trade out every week to get you more things. And the game changes as you're playing it. So, like, you'll get this thing of, oh, my God, the bugs are moving this way. And our mission is we have to stop them from expanding. If you don't, it can change what happens next as your missions update, because we weren't able to fulfill that. And they actually have a guy named Joel, who is basically the DM of the game and changes things around. So it feeds off of the player base and what they're doing. The most recent thing was you had to go to these planets and activate these big spraying towers, which had this termicide inside of it that was supposed to kill the bugs. And this is how we're going to win the war. One of the things you could kind of find and unravel was a thing that was like, might cause slight mutations. And so people were like, oh, so by doing this, what we're doing is unlocking a new weird type of bug that's a mutated version. So there's crazy stuff like that. But it's just happy, happy, bang, bang, blow up.
Okay. I may have to check that out. So I have been... So Skull and Bones, which was... So my favorite video game of all time is Assassin's Creed 4 Blacklight.
Are we in the remake?
Yep. I play it once a year. To its completion, I 100% it. I do not 100% games. I do not have the time for it. I do not have the focus for it. But this game, I will go in fucking diving bells and dodge eels and sharks to get every single bit to 100% that game once a year. So, 11 years ago, Ubisoft announced that they would be doing kind of a spiritual successor in the Indian Ocean, where it was a whole other pirate thing. That was what became Skull and Bones. It has taken 11 years for this game to come out. I've put 125 hours into this game in the last month. That is a record for me. That is a lot. And so I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a good time with it. And it brings me to kind of a whole rant on live service games, which we'll get into in the future. I don't mind them.
I'm sure our audience at this point has realized these are two giant nerds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is why we kept...
Which is why we kept about 10% of you that started listening to this. So
I like that. That's a good quote. So the one I was thinking was more of a tagline than a question.
Oh,
like,
okay.
What are you playing? And so I was like, well, you know, we've discussed a lot of things. We've shared a lot of opinion and a lot of viewpoints. And if we have upset anyone or said something that people disagree with, the main thing to keep in mind while listening to this whole podcast
is that our opinion doesn't matter.